What's the difference in entering the kingdom of heaven and inheriting the kingdom of heaven? That and much more is what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Today, we are beginning our first official episode of our Hebrews series. It's called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. And we're so excited to have in the studio with us in this series, Dr. Kenneth Yates, the author of a book by the same title. So, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Kenneth Yates, Dr. Bob Wilkin, and Sean Lazard. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And with us in the studio today is Dr. Ken Yates, author of a new commentary on the book of Hebrews, Hebrews Partners with Christ. Can you say hi?
Hello. Great to be with you.
Well, we're so glad to have you here because this is a great commentary on the book of Hebrews. If you've struggled with this book, if all you've ever heard was, I don't know, a lot of preaching about Hebrews, in my opinion, is just too flat, if I can put it that way. People just think there are only two options in life. Salvation is either about being saved from hell or going to heaven when you die, and it just loses all the color of the New Testament. Your commentary on Hebrews really brings out what Hebrews is really about, which is not avoiding going to hell or losing your eternal salvation, which is impossible. It's about living and persevering in the Christian life in order to achieve what?
Rewards of being a partner with Christ, which means in the book of Hebrews, there's a word that occurs called metakoi. It means ruling with him, being a close, intimate companion with Christ when he sets up his kingdom.
And people who've followed this podcast, this radio show, will know from previous series, like we just recorded a whole series with Lucas Kitchen on this idea of eternal rewards. And if you want to learn more about eternal rewards kind of as a standalone subject, you should go back to iTunes.com or to our website, faithloan.org, and be sure to listen to those shows with Lucas Kitchen. Now, in this series, we're going to see how the concept of eternal rewards really comes out of a single biblical book, the book of Hebrews, where this idea plays an absolutely central role in understanding this book. And without eternal rewards, can you even understand Hebrews?
No, I don't think if you come to the book of Hebrews and think that it's only talking about going to heaven or going to hell, you're going to grossly misinterpret the book. And one of the things that free grace theology has taught me is that 26 of the 27 books in the New Testament are written to believers, and that's exactly what we find in the book of Hebrews. And if a person cannot lose their salvation, the book of Hebrews is not talking about that.
That's a good point, Ken. And one thing related to that, the one book that's not written to believers is the Gospel of John, right? John 20, 30, and 31. These things I have written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. But what happens is, if someone misunderstands the book of Hebrews, what do they do with the Gospel of John? How do they understand John 3:16?
You've got people who are going to define believing in different ways. They're going to say that belief includes perseverance, belief includes works, if they understand the book of Hebrews teaching the exact same thing.
Or they can say it guaranteed result in works, guaranteed result in obedience and perseverance, which is more or less the same thing.
Exactly. If you truly believe, then you're going to do this, 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 this. You're going to persevere in the faith. That's the way they're going to interpret John 3:16, John 5:24, John 11:25-26.
In the last episode, we talked about some introductory materials. Who wrote it? We're not really sure, but could be Paul or Barnabas. Seems to be the most ancient kind of testimony to the authorship of Hebrews. Who it was written to. Clearly, it was written to believers who were Jewish and familiar with the Old Testament sacrifices. And they were at risk of doing what?
They were at risk of, because of persecution, going back to Judaism. And I think we could understand that if they grew up in that kind of system, and now they were being persecuted for their faith as Christians. The God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament, why not worship God as Jews, as under the Jewish system of sacrifices? It was certainly safer to do it that way for these original readers.
All right, so they were at risk of apostatizing back to Judaism.
That's exactly right.
So now in this episode, what we want to do is just kind of go over the prologue of Hebrews, which is the first four verses. And if you'll let me, I'll just start by reading. So this is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So there's several issues here. How would you outline this prologue?
Well, what the author does in the prologue here is he introduces major themes that he's going to talk about in the book. Two of them are that Jesus is the king of the world to come, and this is seen in the name Son. He's going to quote a number of Old Testament passages that refer to the Messiah as the king, but he also, in these verses, refers to Jesus as our high priest. In the first four chapters, there's an emphasis on Jesus being the king of the world to come. And in chapters 5 through 10, there's an emphasis on him being our high priest. We see the idea of him being our high priest and the fact that he purged his people of their sins. And I guess if we could summarize what the author is saying is, if he is the king and he is our great high priest, when he speaks, you better listen to him. And there's also an emphasis here that he is God's prophet. In fact, he's God's greatest prophet. And so, again, when someone like that speaks, you disobey him at your own peril.
Prophet, priest, king.
Right.
Yes,
well,
the Old Testament offices.
Well, it's just so interesting in this first verse. You know, when you're a prophet, you know, there's lots of prophets in the Bible. But the author of Hebrews says, although God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past by the prophets, in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. And it seems like it's very final for the author of Hebrews.
Absolutely. The last days. In the Old Testament, God spoke in many different ways, and it was fragmentary in the sense that God may appear in a vision, God may appear or speak in a still small voice, God may speak in a whirlwind. And certainly the Old Testament prophets revealed God, but the idea of the Son revealing him is much greater. And that's a major theme in the book of Hebrews, that Christ is greater than anything that Judaism offered. And therefore, it would be a serious mistake to renounce Christ and return to that old system of worship.
Well, I love what he says here. He says, so after saying that he's spoken to us by his Son in this kind of final way, he makes an extraordinary claim to make about any type of person. He says, whom he appointed heir of all things. What does that mean, heir of all things?
That's also a major theme in the book of Hebrews. He is going to inherit the world to come, all things. We could think, for example, the millennial kingdom, and then when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, it is all going to belong to him. And in the book of Hebrews, salvation is the idea that those who persevere are going to share that inheritance with Christ.
Co-heirs.
So there's an inheritance concept. That's a rewards concept,
yes.
Isn't it, Bob?
Yeah. Romans 8:17 has the same basic idea. And we're joint heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with him. To be co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ requires suffering, and that's also a theme in Hebrews.
Absolutely. And the author of Hebrews is saying persevere to the end. And we see here once again that this is not telling people what they have to do to go to heaven, because we don't work to get to heaven. That is a free gift by God's grace through faith alone. This is an inheritance. And one of the things that free grace theology has pointed out is there's a difference between entering the kingdom and having an inheritance in the kingdom. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is talking about. And he sets the stage right here in the prologue in the first few verses of the book.
And it's all set within the doctrine of imminence, which is Christ can come at any moment in these last days. Well, almost 2,000 years ago, they were in the last days. And we're still in the last days. They knew Jesus could return in their lifetime, just like we know he can return in our lifetime. And so this doctrine of wanting to be found by him as one who has his approval, it resonates from the first century to the 21st century.
You're absolutely right, Bob. And I think the other thing that we see in here is that when it refers to the last days, in Christ, we have God's final statement, final revelation of himself, because he is the perfect as the author of Hebrews says here in the prologue. He's a perfect revelation. It can't get any better than that.
Even better than the angels.
Absolutely. He's greater than the angels, greater than any Old Testament prophet.
Well, listen to how much greater he is than the angels. It says in verse 2 that through whom also he made the worlds. God created the worlds through Jesus? So that means he's more than just a man, isn't he? And he's even more than just an angel.
Yes, certainly no angel could say that. And certainly none of the Old Testament prophets could say that. And it makes sense that Christ would inherit all these things if he is the one who made them.
And so here you have, within just a couple decades of Jesus' life, an extremely high Christology, extremely high view of who Jesus is. God made the worlds through Jesus. Now, that reminds me of John chapter 1.
And not only that, the word used for worlds here is not the normal word we think of, cosmos, but this is the word ion, which can also be translated ages.
Mm-hmm.
So he can be the Lord of time.
That's right. He's bringing all of history to its conclusion, which will be his kingdom. But also the idea, I think, of the spiritual world. He is the ruler of all these things, which includes the angels, because Judaism, at least in some sects, had a very high estimation of the angels. And the author may very well be indicating that here, that Christ is greater than all of them as well. Evidently, these original readers under the sect of Judaism that they were being attracted to thought that angels were going to rule the world to come.
Mm.
And we definitely see that, for example, in places at Qumran in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so these people were being lured by that kind of teaching, and the author sets off right from the very beginning that Christ is greater than all of them, and no, the angels are not going to rule the world to come. Jesus Christ will. And the exciting thing, we can share in that rule with him.
Well,
and that
is-
should motivate us.
Absolutely. This is a theme we've seen through many different passages in Scripture. The call is for us to be faithful. If we are faithful, we will rule with Christ in the life to come. Paul says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. We're going to see this theme throughout Hebrews of being Christ partners in the life to come. And so hold on in your Christian life, so that you can be found faithful and you'll hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on the biblical book of Hebrews. I know that we're going to gain a lot from hearing this wonderful series. Now, I want to tell you how to get your very own copy of Dr. Kenneth Yates' book. You could go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And once you're there, you can either put the title of the book in the search bar, or you can go directly to our bookstore. This book is going to be a fantastic companion for listening through this series. I hope you'll get your own. I got my own as soon as it was available. Now, when you're on the site, I hope you'll take advantage of our free resources, like our magazine, our blog posts, and our podcasts. In addition to this, you may be interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. This radio program, and in fact all of our ministries, are made possible by the generous donations of listeners and readers just like you. If you'd like to do that, you can find out how to become a financial partner on the website faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to discuss the concept that Christ is greater than the angels. What a unique topic. That's the kind of fun subjects we get when we study Hebrews. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.